Hello and welcome to Money Wisdom. I'm John Stillman alongside Eric Hogarth, certified financial planner and partner at Johnson Brunetti, the official wealth management partner of the Yukon Huskies. Eric, I've never asked this, but did your time in the Yukon Sports Information Department really grease the wheels for you guys to become the official wealth management partner?
I'd like to think it's the primary reason.
Yeah.
No, not at all. But it was a fantastic experience. I got very spoiled my time at Yukon as I took stats in my sports information department time, which means I got to sit on the floor of every single basketball game.
And you were there in a very good era to be sitting on the floor of every single basketball game.
Absolutely. For the UConn fans out there, which are all of them, I saw Caron Butler and Talik Brown and Ben Gordon and Emeka Okafor. I got to play a pickup game against Diana Taurasi. So these are like some of the big-time, all-time stars of UConn. So it was wonderful.
Yeah. Golden era, if you will.
Well, and an honor to be back working with UConn on stuff now. So that's very neat.
Yep. So that's cool. I know it's cool when you're watching games and you see Johnson Brunetti on the sideline digital signage board there. Pretty cool.
Absolutely. And well, now my two, you know, so Megan and I's kids are 8, 6, and 3. And my 8-year-old is very big into basketball. So we watched the UConn games together. Tournament, not so well last year, but absolute blast to watch.
Well, always a pleasure to have you on the program here and get some of your wisdom. We're going to jump right into it, and we're going to tell some of Aesop's fables. What does that have to do with your retirement planning? Well, you're going to tell us. So I'm going to read a fable to you, and then you're going to spin it into, you're going to take the moral of the story and spin it into some financial wisdom, okay?
Yes. Sounds exciting.
All right, so this first one is The Miser and His Gold. Not everybody has heard this fable, The Miser and His Gold. So there was a miser who used to hide his gold at the foot of a tree in his garden, and then every week he'd go and dig it up and gloat over his riches. A robber who had noticed this went and dug up the gold and ran off with it. And when the miser came that week to gloat over his treasures, well, he found nothing but the empty hole. And he raised such an outcry that all the neighbors came to see what was wrong. He told them how he used to come, and he'd dig up his gold, and he'd visit with it, and then he'd bury it back. And then one of them said, well, did you ever take any of it? And he said, no, I only came to look at it. And so another neighbor said, well, then come over here and look at the hole, because it'll do you just as much good. So what's the moral of the story, and how does it apply to our retirement planning?
Spend some money talking to different kind of age demographics of people. You think about someone who might be 85 years old and can, you know, we talk about Great Depression era mindset and almost an inability sometimes to spend money. You know, there's a balance to these things that, you know, you want to make good decisions and be frugal, but it's also a balance of saving for tomorrow, but also living for today because we don't know what tomorrow will bring. So I like to talk about planning, and a lot of times people, I think, are wary of talking to a financial planner or an advisor because, oh, they're going to tell me, you know, from budget perspective, I gotta spend less money. But plenty of times it's, hey, you did a great job saving. You can spend some money, you know, because a lot of people, they get so good at saving money that, you know, they're not real comfortable spending any of it. And it takes a plan to say, hey, this is the money that you spend, and this is the money that's going to be growing for later. And then you figure out what the balance is going to be. But the goal is not to die with as much money as possible, never having spent any of it or done the things that you wanted to do. And that's a sad story.
I love the idea of this guy digging up his gold just to stare at it every few days, because I see a lot of people where it's like that's what they're doing with the money in the bank. They just like having money in the bank where they can keep an eye on it. And even though they complain about inflation and the fact that they're not getting any interest on their money in the bank, they still leave it there. Doesn't make any sense.
Well, and that's a tough strategy, if you can call it that, if you're leaving money in the bank, because the concern then is, well, if I'm not making anything and I start to spend it, it's just going to go straight down. You know, if you're retired and you're done saving, which is why I'm not advocating that you get into the market, but you need something that is growing, because why do you save money in the first place? You know, to be comfortable and to be able to live how you want to live and continue to be independent for as long as you live. So a lot of times people are in a better position than they think they are, but they've done something for such a long time, it just becomes a habit. And a lot of times the people that are actually best prepared for retirement are the ones that are the most apprehensive about it because they've never really gotten any help. And it's not just about growing money. It's about using money, protecting money, growing money, spending money.
The good habits die hard just like the bad habits do, right?
If you, yes, absolutely.
Saving and investing and spending as little as possible in your younger years is a good habit.
Well, and you know, I'm sure you talk to people too, John. Like, I had an interesting thing happen a couple of weeks ago because I had someone who died and two sisters inherited the same exact amount of money. And it just so happens that both of these sisters are clients of ours, right? Because the client was a client of ours. Both the sisters are clients. They inherited the same exact amount of money. And the resulting weeks have looked very, very different. So I was talking to one sister, and of course, as everything is confidential and we're not divulging, but she was saying, well, you know, I know I inherited exactly the same amount of money as my sister, and yet my sister is, you know, she bought a car and she bought a house and she did this, and I don't feel like I can do any of that stuff. And obviously, you know, then you get into the differences of people that are just different comfort levels, right? You talk about, well, how much money do you need in the bank? 9 out of 10 people I talk to have more in the bank than they need. So it's not really a financial question. It's more, how much money do you need in the bank to be able to sleep at night, to be able to feel the way that you want to feel? And well, that number is different for everyone. So it's interesting. But, you know, for people that are, you know, looking at others, well, how are they doing that? Well, just start with a conversation and find out what kind of position you're actually in, because maybe you could live a little bit more like you want to live.
Interesting. All right. Well, let's do another fable from Aesop. That one went well.
Yes.
We'll do this one, which is The Dog and His Shadow. Maybe a little more well-known.
More well-known. This particular one.
So a dog had a piece of meat and was carrying it home in his mouth. On his way home, he had to cross a plank lying across a running brook. As he crossed, he looked down and saw his own reflection in the water. Thinking it was another dog with another piece of meat, he decided that he wanted that piece of meat too. So he snapped at the shadow in the water. But as he opened his mouth, of course, the piece of meat fell out, dropped into the water, and was never seen again. So, Eric, moral of the story and the financial application.
Don't compare yourself to other people, because I've said this before on the radio show, and I'll probably mess up the quote yet again, but it's something along the lines of, you know, comparison is the thief of, oh, I messed it up again. Do you know what I'm getting at, John?
Comparison is the thief of joy, I think, is what you're looking for.
Dang it! I think you fixed it for me last time, too.
Tell you what, next week you interview me. How about that?
Yep, we'll do it. Hopefully my wife doesn't listen to this one, because she has said that. Be happy with where you are. It doesn't matter what anyone else is doing. It matters where you are and what you're doing. You know, people say, well, okay, well, Eric, you know, you're in investments and financial planning. Is it true that you need $1 million to be able to retire today? That's not everything you need to know. For some people, $1 million is way more than they would ever, ever, ever need. And I'm sure there's people out there that spend $1 million in a month. I've not met them, but I'm sure there are people that do it. It's different. It's different for everyone. You know, and what I'm getting at is that you might already have saved enough money. Let's keep life real simple. People fall into two groups. This is it. You saved enough money to retire how you want to retire? You didn't. That's it, right? Even simpler, you have enough money, you don't. You're either one or the other, right? So you need to know what that number is. And that's part of our process getting into, and when we talk about the money map and we talk through this stuff, is to figure out what is the number that you need, because you might already have it. Now, let's walk down that road a little, that if you already saved enough money, right? You already won the game to have a great retirement and live exactly how you want to live. Would that change your willingness to risk losing that money? Right? Because there's two ways to look at this. The first way is, well, I already have enough money. If I put it in the market, that's probably how I'm going to grow it the most. And if it goes down, I can afford to lose money, so it doesn't matter. And that's probably how I'll best grow the money, which might be true. Now, the other way to look at it is, if you already have enough money to live exactly as you want to live and have a great life, why risk losing any of it? Because though you can afford to lose money, if you lose money that you didn't need to lose because you took risk that you didn't need to take, how bad are you going to feel? And for how long, right? My last line there, you took risks that you didn't need to take to make money that you didn't need to make. Why? You know, we work together as a team on everything. There's 14 advisors at Johnson Brunetti, and one of the advisors, I think Nick's the one that coined this, but he said something to me, at least he's the first person that I heard say it, is why are you still playing a game that you've already won? So have a conversation. Again, it doesn't matter what anyone else is doing. It matters where you are, what you've done, what you need that money to do. And that merits a conversation to talk about what's life going to look like in the future. But don't be tempted about what that other sister is doing, because if you're happy, then that's success.
All right, I want to flesh this concept out a little bit.
It's a long answer.
Don't keep playing a game you've already won.
Isn't that a good
one? So let's think about that in a football context. You have the ball. There's 90 seconds left on the clock, and you're up 8 points. What are you going to do?
Just don't mess up.
Just run the ball. Just run the clock out, right?
You literally just, at that point, you just have to not lose. You already won. Just don't lose.
Eric, I know for a lot of people, the Money Map Retirement Review clarifies a lot of this, well, what do I do next kind of anxiety. Walk us through that process and why it would be smart for somebody to take advantage of the Money Map Retirement Review.
Well, first thing, we try to keep things very easy and simple. I know with these questions, I get excited about this stuff, and I can, you know, go on and on a little bit about it, and I've met with a lot of folks and seen a lot of things, but what that visit is about just starts with not, you know, let me look at your statements or what'd you save. It's just tell me what's going on with you. You know, the people that we're sitting down with, we work in retirement planning. So they're either retired or they're about to. You know, so it starts, they come into the office and we talk about, well, you know, you have an idea of who we are and what we do. Tell me about yourself. What's going on? What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? How might we help? And we talk about the things that we're thinking. Then we, you know, I'll ask some questions and we'll ask questions to gather information. And then myself, the other advisors will sit down. We'll build the money map, which is a one-page document that we will sit down at our next visit, which doesn't cost anything. It's all totally free of charge. We'll sit down and go through this map and say, this is what your situation looks like to us. This is where you are. If nothing else, you could take this piece of paper, you could put it in a file at home, and if anything happens to you, someone can look at that and say, well, this is where stuff is. Right? Because if you're nearing retirement age, you have parents, hopefully they're still with us, but they're getting up there in years, and you've probably done that, you know, forensic accounting when someone passes away and it's like, geez, I didn't even know what they had. Well, anyone with a money map, people know what you have. And that is a big peace of mind right there. And that's what it is, you know, just call and schedule the time. We'll sit down, we'll talk about this stuff. And I promise you, it's going to be just like this. It's a conversation. It's not, you know, I hope people don't come in apprehensive or anxious or nervous. Oh, geez, did I do a good enough job? Are we in a good place? Are they going to tell me that everything I've done is wrong? No. That's not what we're going to do. We're just going to talk through this stuff about what's on your mind and see if that lines up with what you've done.
So if you'd like to take advantage of the Money Map review process, if that sounds like something that would be beneficial to you, and spoiler alert, it will be beneficial, just reach out, either call or text right now and find a time to come in and visit. Now, to clarify, you don't have to find the time right now. Right now, just leave a message or text. Let us know your name. We'll contact you later. During regular business hours, work with your calendar to find a time that works for you. So the number to call or text, 800-705-1232. That's 800-705-1232. No cost, no obligation to come in for that Money Map Retirement Review. The team at Johnson Brunetti will answer those questions you have, maybe get you thinking about some things you didn't even know you needed to be asking questions about, and get some clarity on what you need to be doing with your money. 800-705-1232. You're listening to Money Wisdom with Eric Hogarth, certified financial planner and partner at Johnson Brunetti, the official wealth management partner of the Yukon Huskies. And let's open up the mailbag. Eric, let's see what folks have for you this week. We'll start with Bill. Bill says, on the day I retire in a few months, I'll be almost exactly 69 and a half years old. I'll be honest, I thought we stopped counting half birthdays after you turn like 9. But
not in retirement.
He'll be 69 and a half when he retires in a few months. He says, my question is, should I start Social Security the very next month, or should I wait 6 months until I'm 70 years old so that I get the maximum benefit?
Well, Bill, it depends on what other things you have done to save. The general rule is the more you've saved, the more flexibility you have. meaning the less you've saved. If you haven't saved any money, wait till 70. Now, my immediate to this is, well, I'd probably just wait till 70 because that's the max and you're pretty darn close. But that's assuming that you've got some money to get you through in the meantime. If, again, trying to keep things simple, if you have two chunks of money, so on one side you have every single dollar that you have ever saved, and on the other side you have Social Security. And let's say, to keep it easy, Bill, it's just you. You're single. Well, if you die, the Social Security just disappears, whereas your money goes everywhere that you want it to go. So I'm not a big fan of spending down your money to defer what I believe is someone else's money in Social Security. But being that you're 69 and a half years old, you could argue it either way. But if you have some money, maybe some cash to get you through the next 6 months, maybe I spend that and defer Social Security.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I would imagine, Eric, you can see people in what to them would look like very similar circumstances. Like, we're the same age, retiring from the same company, and we live in comparable neighborhoods.
Yeah.
So we should probably start our Social Security at the same time, right? Because all the variables are the same, but they're not.
Social Security is a big one because people talk about it. Everyone's walking around, particularly if they're managing stuff on their own, feeling like, you know, I'm doing a good job. I made the right decision. Kind of that self-fulfilling prophecy. Well, if I waited till 70, everyone should wait till 70. If I did it at 62, everyone should do it at 62. Said it once, I'll say it, you know, 100 more times. Doesn't matter what anyone else is doing. Matters what makes the most sense for you. You know, again, Bill, if there are, you know, if you do have a spouse and you're married, well, now we've got to think about it that way too, because now the larger Social Security is going to remain. One of you dies. There's also the spousal benefit. There's more to unpack with that. So Social Security is a big deal. Whether it's going to be a big part of your retirement or a small part of your retirement, it is part of your retirement. You have paid into it for a very long time. So my goal is you get absolutely as much money out of that system as possible.
Makes an awful lot of sense. All right, we'll go next to Kim, whose question is, my husband died 15 years ago, and I've dated but never considered getting married until now. My boyfriend's house would work better for us than mine would, so I'd move in with him. But it makes me really nervous to sell my house and start combining finances because I've been doing things independently for so long now. How do you advise people in a situation like this?
It makes total sense, Kim. I mean, I see this a lot with folks that say, you know, maybe we were both married before and it's just easier this way. There's pros and cons to it. I mean, I just mentioned with Bill, if you're married for at least 10 years, you're entitled to your spouse's Social Security benefit from a spousal benefit perspective. Typically makes taxes a little bit more forgiving, makes wealth transfer infinitely easier in the event that a spouse dies, so that an IRA can just become the survivor as opposed to a beneficiary IRA, which is much more cumbersome and ends up being probably more taxes. But then there's also, you know, maybe Kim says, I don't want to get married. There's pros and cons of it. I can tell you from a financial perspective, which is probably how Kim's asking, getting married probably makes more sense. You know, that's not the most romantic way to look at it. You know, you'll have to decide what you want to do, but there's kind of more financial benefits to getting married than staying separate, particularly if you're going to move into a house. But you could jointly own a house and not be married.
All right. So another thing that really needs to be worked out with a little bit of thought and think about what makes sense for you, probably with some professional guidance along the way. Next question is from Steven, who says, I've heard a lot about annuities, but I'm confused about the different types and how they all work. Eric, maybe we should do a quick tutorial. Can you just kind of break down the different types of annuities and just sort of give us a quick, like, do you ever use this type of annuity or not? What are the situations where it might make sense?
Yeah, I think it's a good thing to talk about annuities, particularly with companies that are now offering lump sum pensions over traditional pensions. And, you know, I've done this about 20 years now, and I spent a good part of that time avoiding the word annuity because so many people are just guarded. You know, I hate annuities. You know, annuities are terrible. And like anything out there, you know, you want to educate yourself as best you can and get a variety of different opinions on this stuff, because I get critical of some of the annuity stuff too. And to be clear, in certain instances, we use annuities. But bottom line, there's a lot of different annuities out there for different purposes. So the kind of the traditional annuity is a pension, meaning that you can give money to an insurance company, and they can pay you every month for the rest of your life. and you can't outlive that money. You think about someone, you know, the incidence of bankruptcy if you win the lotto. A lot of people who win the lotto run out of money and go bankrupt because they didn't really save the money. So all of a sudden, you know, they're buying all kinds of nutty stuff. The ones who take that lottery winning as an annuity do not go bankrupt because you can't overspend an annuity because it pays you every month for the rest of your life. But the problem if you set up one of those annuities outside of winning hundreds of millions of dollars, a lot of times they just don't pay you that much money because they're based on life expectancy. You're supposed to live a long time. Interest rates aren't great, so we can talk about it, but that's not that common. And that's a big fear with annuities, is that when I die, the money is all gone. Because a lot of those, when you die, the money is all gone. Unless, like your pension at work, you set it up to go to a survivor, typically a spouse. So that's an immediate annuity. Probably not something you'd look at outside of work. Then you get into what's called a deferred annuity. Now, deferred annuity means you're going to put money in this thing and you are going to defer it. You're going to wait a period of time before you start drawing money out of it. But when you do start drawing money out, you'll probably take it out monthly or just as you want it. But when you die, whatever's left goes to whomever you left it to. So this thing is going to live on beyond you. Someone will get the whole lump sum minus whatever you have taken out. But when it comes to deferred annuities, there are variable annuities and fixed annuities. And this is a big, big difference because a variable annuity is a security. Variable annuities have fees. They have risk of loss. And I'm not making them evil here, but when people hear annuities and say, oh, they have a lot of fees and they have a lot of risk, those are variable annuities. Fixed annuities are not securities. You cannot lose money in a fixed annuity, and most of them do not have fees unless you're buying additional riders. Now, the catch with a fixed annuity is, well, am I going to make as much money? Maybe not, right? The core reason that someone looks at a fixed annuity is they want something safe. And by safe, I mean something that cannot lose money. Well, Eric, are there really things that can't lose money? Yes. Well, do they pay any money? They can, but you've got to tie that money up. So, you know, we don't have all day to go through annuities. Clearly, there's a lot of different types out there. But, you know, there's some neat ones. Like when we run into using one, there's a certain type of fixed annuity called a fixed indexed annuity, right? That works that if the market goes up, you can go up some of the way. You don't go up all the way. And if the market goes down, you don't lose anything. Well, is it really that simple? No, it's an annuity. It's not that simple. But bottom line, you have the possibility of earning interest and you can't lose anything and you don't pay fees. Well, you got to tie up the money. So again, there's pros and cons to it. So my recommendation is, as with anything you're exploring, is try and be open-minded to this stuff. Get the pros and cons of it because there's pros and cons to about any investment out there. Bottom line, you know, I know a lot of these responses are it depends because it does depend. It's so specific and so unique to you. What someone's doing could be great for you, could be horrible for you. You know, someone should take a pension as a lump sum. Some next-door neighbor, it might be the worst thing they could do. So that's why I really encourage people, you know, you don't know what you don't know. You know, call us. We'll sit down. We'll talk through this stuff. A lot of times that second visit where we're going through the money map ends with a handshake saying, hey, you're doing a good job. You know, keep doing what you're doing. If things change in the future, we'll be here. You know, there's a reason that we're built the way that we are. Our oldest advisor is 60. Our youngest advisor is in their 20s. It's as life goes on, people retire, people age, they take out money, they get sick and all types of things. We'll be here. You know, so you can call us to schedule that visit. That phone number is 1-800-705-1232. And you'll leave a message. We'll get back in touch with you to schedule that visit to come on in. It's absolutely free of charge. And we'll get you one of our books. And I think it'll be really helpful to people. And even if that feedback is just keep doing what you're doing, I think that's a great use of time. And it's something we're honored to be able to do. So again, that number is 1-800-705-1232.
Call or text now while it's on your mind. Easy to say, yeah, I'll do that later, but you'll never remember. So just reach out now, leave a message, and we'll get back in touch with you later to find a time for your Money Map Retirement Review. Call or text 800-705-1232. That's 800-705-1232. And thanks so much for tuning in to Money Wisdom. We'll catch you again right here next week, same time, same place. Until then, have a great week.
Money Wisdom is sponsored by Johnson Brunetti. Investment advisory services offered through JB Capital, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Insurance products offered through JN Financial, LLC. Johnson Brunetti is a paid sponsor of the UConn Huskies athletic program.
Better Money is sponsored by Johnson Brunetti.